theologically sound Bible books, commentaries, and teaching materials. Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking about a biblical, theological, doctrinal issue that I believe every Christian needs to understand. May I even modify that? Every church member needs to understand what biblical repentance is about. We've talked about that in definition. What is the definition of repentance? We've talked about the fact that repentance is necessary for salvation. And we looked at the directive just before the news break. We talked about the directive. God commands all to repent, Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth he all men everywhere repent. So repentance is not optional. Dr. Davis, Dr. Phelps, what do we do when we've got, I believe, churches filled with unrepentant people that are church members? What happens in a church where that is the case, Dr. Phelps?
One of the things I would like to say that I've observed down through the years, that when people do not respond to the preaching of a sermon, mm-hmm. On the Lord's Day, mm-hmm. in the Lord's house, they do not respond by changing their life, making changes, or making alterations in the way they behave, or even responding by going to the altar and humbling themselves before God, I believe that shows a lack of repentance. Mm-hmm. Repentance is probably not a word that they're thinking about, but there should be some kind of response to the preaching of the Word of God. If not, then what happens in that church member's heart and life is a hardening to the gospel.
Yes.
And also a blindness that veils their eyes from the truth until there is repentance, mm-hmm. until that person turns to God from their disobedient life or their lack of change in their life, then there's going to be a hardening of their heart and there's going to be blindness of eyes. That's brought about, that truth is taught in Matthew chapter 13 when Jesus talked about how that people need to respond to the Word of God.
Yes, and may I be bold enough to say, and then Dr. Davis, I want you to respond. May I be bold enough to say, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe some of the chaos, confusion, discord, and a division that is found in so many of the New Testament churches today is born out of the fact that we have church members that have never repented toward God, never had a diametrical change in their lives. And Dr. Davis, I'm going to read to you Luke 13:3. Without repentance, there is death, according to the scripture. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all, A-L-L, likewise perish. Same is found in the 5th verse of the 13th chapter of Luke. What are we supposed to say or do, Dr. Davis, from the standpoint of pastors, pastoral leadership? Well, we see what the scripture says, and we're urging, encouraging those that are in church and the membership, and even those that are listening today, urging to recognize and to analyze, have you truly repented? What do you say to our audience about that?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, to the pastors, first of all, you have to have a spine.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scripture lets us know that we need, as shepherds over the house, over the flock of God, that we need to be able to teach the people. We do that through reproving, rebuking, and exhorting.
Amen.
With all long-suffering and doctrine.
Yes.
If we don't do that, we're going to lose the people.
Right.
And we're going to lose the church. The church will end up in shipwreck.
You mean focusing... You mean focusing on entertainment doesn't work?
Well, I mean, you see, they're bringing too much worldly activities into the church.
That's right.
And then so many don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about your feelings. It's about obedience to the word of God. And if we don't understand how to obey God, then of course, we will never be the type of Christian or follower of Christ that God desires for us to be. So we can't play with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can't let people come in and do what they want to do. This is not Burger King. You can't have it your way.
That's
in
right.
The church.
I like that.
Amen. You have to come in and be willing to look at yourself. Another definition of that word repent means to review your actions.
That's right.
When you review how you do things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that God will be pleased with the way that you do things?
Mm-hmm.
Some people say that I was a Christian, I got saved a long time ago, yet I've not stopped smoking, drinking, kicking the cat, cursing the wife.
That's right.
If you haven't, mm-hmm. something's wrong with that picture. Now, I understand that it takes time because salvation is a process. We do know that. And it might take time for God to help you to come to realize, and that only happens because you're not fully given over. But if you give yourself totally over to God and you're willing to abandon yourself, your style, your way of living, your control over your life, yes. and let God have his way, and if you really look at yourself, it will cause you to come to a point of true repentance that I'm ready to make a change.
Absolutely. Let's go back and put a little parenthetical footnote on that. Salvation is a process. Salvation is what I call, from the Greek text, in punctilia motion. It is something once for all, you're saved. But we grow in faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It
Amen.
Is the growth and development you're speaking of, not the once for all saying yes to Jesus Christ. I believe we have James on the line. James, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
My show. I unfortunately can't listen to the second half, but as soon as I heard you open the opening statements, I just said, oh my Lord, please, anybody listening that's not looking at what's happening around the world and in our own backyard in Dearborn, Michigan, we've got Sharia law taking over, and I look at the churches and I look at our history, mm-hmm. and I look at, is it complicit or complacent? Who said that Adam was complicit? Because when Eve went to take a bite out of the apple, he didn't say no. God said we're not supposed to do that. So when the pastors are on the tower as the watchman is supposed to be, and I praise God, I'm going to hang up and listen to you pastors, because I trust and I believe in what each of one of you are saying, because you're purely speaking the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's what we need, and we need courageous leaders in the church. And I think if people will look at history and what's happened throughout history, is when the church was silent, bad things happened. And I would rather go down swinging and be noisy than just quietly, you know, go away like a vapor.
Brother, you're exactly right. And I challenge our listeners today to speak up, stand up, be heard, be seen, be salt, be light. And I challenge our pastors, James, that are listening today, as you said and I've said so many times, to grow a spiritual spine. Not be afraid of losing numbers, nickels, and noses. It's time our churches realize that we are to be salt and light in a decaying, darkening world. And as we see, and you so eloquently stated it, as we see the Islamization of America, and we see pastors silent with it, as you see pastors like now retired, but Pastor Rick Warren, where it said that Islam and Christianity are sister religions, it is a demonic lie. As we witness today, where those are being persecuted and prosecuted, persecution in Dearborn, Michigan, where the mayor of one of the little small towns outskirts of Dearborn, the mayor, which is Islamic, told a Christian pastor, a citizen, a Christian pastor, because he questioned the naming, renaming of streets after jihadist, Islamic jihadist, just because he asked the question from the city leaders, the mayor of that city said, get out of the city, you're no longer welcome, we do not want you. In fact, the mayor even said, we'll have a parade and a celebration when you leave town. That's an indication of the fallen condition of our churches. And James, I say this, the nation is in the condition that it's in today, with its declension and with the perilous times that we're faced with, simply because of the silence from our pulpits. So you're exactly right. And when
it's
comes
a long read. It's a long read, but you probably read it. Alexander I. Solzhenitsyn wrote The Gulag of the Archipelago.
Yes.
A story of over years, I think decades and decades, of what happened in Russia.
Yes.
And the decay of it. And guess what one of the clarion things was? The silence of the church.
Silence of the churches. Absolutely.
Amen.
And I recommend that reading. He did a superb job with it. I've scanned the book. I've not read the book totally verbatim, but I can tell you the power of the book is what he's seen and experienced.
Here's an interesting fact. It's 66 volumes. Imagine that.
Yes.
66 volumes.
Yeah. By the way, when he was in America years and years and years ago, and he challenged our Congress to turn back to God. He challenged our Congress based on what had taken place in Russia under communism, Marxism, socialism, and he challenged them. They basically laughed at him, mocked at him, and chased him out of the halls of Congress.
Yep. And you know what? Praise God. I lost a bunch of followers a few days ago because I said instead of a ballroom, we should be building a sanctuary next to the church for him to meet with religious leaders and pastors and people that guide him. And as we said, we prayed for a godly leader, and he's becoming more godly. And I pray that that building, you know, we say we want to make God laugh, tell him our plans. Let's say that that turns into a multi-purpose. I don't care if it's a ballroom or a bingo hall. I think it needs to be a church first.
Absolutely. In fact, you go back and you look at the history of the White House, the Capitol building, and what was taking place in the early days of our nation, where they were having worship services, prayer services, revival meetings, et cetera, et cetera. And that ballroom, I don't have any problem with it being the ballroom. And as you said, it can be a multi-purpose room where there's great revival meetings taking place.
Amen.
With the nation's Christian leaders on special Christian occasions and special meetings there. So I commend him for that, contrary to the Communist Network News, where they're bewailing the fact that he's tearing down an old building, and he's going,
yeah.
And he didn't even get Congress's permission. He didn't get the plans and specifications approved by the local nitwits in D.C. He's just building the building, and I commend him for that. But James, Thank you so much, brother, and God bless you as we keep looking up.
You. Great show. Amen.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, let me run something by you. The scripture says, talked about Jesus preaching repentance for salvation. Mark 1:14-15, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What does that mean, Dr. Phelps?
That was a command.
Absolutely.
I believe that it's very important that people respond to the commands that Jesus gave. I noticed in reading the New Testament that the very first word or sentence that many priests had the word repent. Mm-hmm. John the Baptist may have uttered that word first, the
yes.
first word, mm-hmm. repent. for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when Jesus came, he said the same thing. When the Apostle Paul went there, began his preaching, and preached in Acts chapter 17, he was talking about repentance. You know, a person might say, well, I cannot bring myself to repent or to turn to God. I'm unable to do that. I don't know how. But that thinking doesn't come from God.
That's right.
And the truth is that God calls all men to repent.
Amen.
Acts 17, verse 30, and other places. Therefore, we are responsible to before God to change our minds so as to affect our behavior before God and our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's command to repent is the only enabling we need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Remember, God's commandment is our enablement. So let God's word be the power of God in you to do God's will.
Absolutely.
God wants us to act under his authority, for he's the Lord. And one of the things I like to suggest here is that when we do not repent, we forfeit the blessings of God that we can have and the power of God over sin to deliver us from the bondage and control of sin today. And the blessings of God's presence, the blessings of fellowship with God. If we do not repent, we will be in contempt of God's command.
Absolutely. That's a powerful statement, in contempt of God's command. Dr. Davis, let me throw a question. The scripture talks about repentance brings forgiveness of sins. Acts 3:19 says, repent ye and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So the question is for our listeners, if a person doesn't repent, are his sins blotted out?
There is no way that that could happen.
That's right.
Because, again, it calls for reviewing your actions. And if I can throw that in there, looking at your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Do you think God will be pleased with the thing that you are doing now? Okay, let me bring it over. Not just on the worldly side, but on the Christian side. Because sometimes we think we got it all together. And we are so righteous. But you better come to know that the Bible says all of our righteousness is just like filthy rags.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So guess what? Even the righteousness that you're doing now compared to God's holiness and God's holy standards are still nothing but filthy rags. Mm-hmm. You're still missing the mark. So until you accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith and approach God on those grounds, there are no way that you can stand as righteous before a holy God.
That's right.
When you review, once again, yourself and your actions, because it calls for looking at your lifestyle. Every child of God, and I've taught this down through the years, 40 years in Christ, every child of God ought to repent every day.
Amen.
Because you might have thought something wrong. You might have said something wrong. You might have mistreated an individual, or you might have looked at them in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is still sin, and it calls for repentance.
Repentance. Change your mind, change your heart, change your direction.
So if you have not done this and done it effectively, you are not living what I call a fasted lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You have to live a lifestyle, in other words, that you are fasting, you are omitting those things out of your life by confessing. And some people say, you might not have to verbally confess. Well, that's okay too if you don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was taught down through the years in the church that when you verbally confess something, you are also coming into agreement with God that his ways are righteous and yours are unrighteous. And by hearing yourself say that, you strengthen your own faith and your own confidence in the word of God, because you are hearing yourself say that I agree with God and I disagree with myself, and I know that I stand in need of a Savior.
Absolutely.
So that's what we need to do.
Dr. Davis, that brings me to the thought of Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the
Amen.
Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The word confess there is the word homologeo. We get our word homosexual, means like kind. Confess, that is homologeo, that we say with our mouth what God says. God says you're a sinner, and so we come before God and say, God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins, and I request, I want to receive you as Savior and as Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Apostle Paul preached repentance in Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Phelps, what does that mean?
Well, I think it means that we are to have an attitude of turning to God from all that is not right, not in the will of God. The Apostle John knew how to write it. In book of 1 John, his epistle, the Apostle Paul talked about this matter of maintaining our fellowship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joy to have fellowship with the true and the living God and live and walk with him. But he went on to say, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Amen.
Right.
If we say that we have fellowship with him, we ought to be walking in the light, walking God's way, and have that joyful fellowship with him. But he went on to say then, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I would like to suggest or insert this thought here. When we confess our sins to God, mm-hmm. and that's what should be happening in my life and in your life as well.
Every day.
We need to agree with God about sin and be like-minded with him so that we can have fellowship with him.
Amen. Right?
So too many people are out of fellowship with God, and they're out of fellowship with other people as well, especially Christians. But he went on to say that if we say that we have not sinned, notice that, we have not mm-hmm. sinned, we make him a liar,
mm-hmm.
and his word is not in us.
All right.
It's an insult to God to walk around and walk day by day and never confess something that we have done wrong to him and agree with him that it's sin, and we're willing to turn from that and live God's ways.
And here's a spiritual truth I had to learn.
Let me insert this based on what Dr. Phelps just said, just mm-hmm. very quickly, then you can go. George Barner just said in a recent interview on radio broadcast, and talking about sin, he said 80% of the lost world, those that have never said yes to Christ, 80% say there's no such thing as personal sin. That people just make a mistake, they stumble and fall, we need to love them and pick them up, but 80% of the people say there's no such thing as personal sin. Now, Dr. Davis, you go ahead.
Well, I pray that 80% is not the church.
That's right.
You know, I'm praying that that's the world saying that. Mm-hmm. I don't expect any better out of anybody that don't know Christ.
That's right.
And this is what we got to understand. But here's what I started to say earlier. I had to learn this spiritual truth coming up through the years as a minister. Amen, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If me telling you the truth makes me your enemy, so mote it be.
Galatians 4:16.
I'm just going to have to be your enemy
mm-hmm.
because I'm going to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Why? Because I love you too much to let you stay like that.
Amen. That's right.
That's why God gave us his word and sent us his son. He loves us too much to let us stay just like we are in sin. And until we get that kind of care and concern for people as pastors in the church, mm-hmm. we're going to fail at our duties and responsibilities to, first, Christ Jesus our Lord.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We have a few more moments left on the broadcast today. But Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, I go back to, and I'll summarize, and then we'll trickle down to the main final statements. The definition of repentance is recognition of sin. Psalms 51, David recognized his sin. Repentance from sin. 1 Corinthians 7:10 talks about repenting from our sin. Turning from sin, Isaiah 55:7 and Acts 3:19 talks about turning from our sin. So there's the distinctives of repentance. Number one distinctive is godly sorrow that replaces regret. Dr. Phelps, if you have it available there, read 2 Corinthians 7:10. 2 Corinthians 7:10. 2 Corinthians 7:10. And Dr. Davis, if you'll look up very quickly, Ezekiel 36:26. And we'll talk about those two things very quickly in these closing moments. Read that for us, Dr. Phelps.
For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, and not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death.
Mm-hmm. So explain that.
Well, one of the ways that we understand the purpose of God is God wants us to change our minds toward Him.
That's right.
But the world doesn't like to even think about God, mm-hmm. according to the Psalms.
That's right.
The ungodly don't even want to have that thought in their minds. But godly sorrow is brought about by hearing the Word of God,
yes.
or reading or studying the Word of God, knowing the truth. And the truth will make us free from the power and control of sin.
Absolutely. So, Amen. Dr. Davis, wrap it up for us today.
We're talking about Ezekiel 36:26 says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Amen. A heart.
Amen.
After God, a heart that yearns for God, a heart that wants to live for God. This is what it's all about, amen? So this is what we're saying on today, because the Bible tells us that a natural man can receive the things of the Spirit because it's foolishness unto him. And he cannot know the ways of God because they are spiritually discerned or understood. So that's what we're trying to do.
Amen.
Get you into understanding who God is.
Amen. So I challenge our listeners in closing, repent.
Amen.
Repent. Have a change of heart, a change of mind, change of direction, change of heart about sin, change of heart about sinfulness and selfishness, and change of direction, turning from sin to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
First Conservative Baptist Church and President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.
Hi, this is Catherine Fonville, inviting you to worship with us at Paramount Church. My husband, Pastor John Fonville, is passionate that the gospel becomes paramount in your life. Join us for the good news of the gospel.